Will be in order. The chair lays before the House a communication from the Speaker.
The Speaker's rooms, Washington, D.C., March 26, 2007. I hereby appoint the Honorable Kathy Castor to act as Speaker pro tempore on this day. Signed, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Pursuant to the order of the House of January 4, 2007, the chair will now recognize members from lists submitted by the majority and minority leaders for morning hour debates. The chair will alternate recognition between the parties, with each party limited to 30 minutes and each member, other than the majority and minority leaders, and the minority whip limited to 5 minutes. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Oregon, Mr. DeFazio, for 5 minutes.
I thank the chair. Well, Vice President Cheney was in form last weekend in Florida addressing a small group behind closed doors. He attacked the House of Representatives for passing the Iraq Accountability Act. I'm not certain whether it's because he objects to the fact that we're going to make this administration review the readiness of our troops, their equipment, before they're rushed to Iraq in an attempt to escalate the war. They don't want that kind of accountability because they failed our troops from day one on equipment and readiness. And then maybe it's the other part, the part where we're going to demand accountability of the Iraqi government. Time and time again, President Bush sets benchmarks. Those benchmarks will be met. They are never met. There has to be a diplomatic and political component. You cannot resolve a civil war with military force in Iraq. But time and time again, the Bush administration has let the Iraqi government skate. This bill says they will meet the president's own chosen, President Bush and al-Maliki's own chosen guidelines and benchmarks, or we will begin to bring our troops home. Plain and simple. Not a war without end. Not a war that will be settled by future presidents, as George Bush said a year ago. But if this administration and the Iraqi government fail to do what's necessary for our troops, we are not going to strand them in the middle of a civil war. But the vice president objects to those things. He says if they really support the troops, then we should take them at their word and expect them to meet the needs of our military on time, in full, no strings attached. Let's review the administration's record on those issues. Let's review how the Bush-Cheney administration met the needs of our troops. First of all, it was an unnecessary war. They were pursuing a necessary war against Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Osama bin Laden. Remember them? Dead or alive, dead or alive. They abandoned that war for an unnecessary war launched under false pretenses in Iraq. Now, something called the Office of Special Plans phonied up the intelligence. Dick Cheney put together the Office of Special Plans with some of his own hand-picked people, I think one of whom is now on the way to jail, in fact, Scooter Libby. And in fact, he personally, unprecedented for a vice president, kept visiting the CIA and saying, no, they didn't have the intelligence right yet, i.e., they didn't say what he wanted. Niger, Yellowcake, Chalabi, all that stuff. He was so wrong. And then he said and simply stated, there's no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction. Vice President Cheney in August of 2002, as he was pushing us toward war. But then on the eve of the war, even after their myths about weapons of mass destruction, the yellow cake, the aluminum tubes that started to fall apart, he said, we believe Saddam has in fact reconstituted nuclear weapons, Vice President Cheney. A man who has been so wrong and put our troops in harm's way unnecessarily, jeopardized the security of the United States by distracting us from the real fight in Afghanistan, challenges this Congress on the Iraq Accountability Act. No, I think last November, the American people started to ask about accountability for him and his supposed boss, George Bush. And then let's look at their military planning. General Shinseki, a good man, they fired him because he said they'd need 350,000 people. Rummy said, oh, don't worry, we can do it with 100,000 or so. Shinseki said that would lead to strife, civil war, and chaos. He was right, they fired him. But presidential economic advisor Larry Lindsey said, it's going to be very expensive, very expensive. And no, Cheney and his cohort said, no, don't worry, Iraq can pay for it themselves. Well, we're now at about $1 billion a day, $2 billion a week, hundreds of billions of dollars on this war. So wrong. And then our troops, how did they serve them? They said, well, Vice President Cheney again, we believe we will, in fact, be greeted as liberators. I think it'll go relatively quick, weeks rather than months. So they didn't give our men and women body armor, didn't have armored Humvees. They didn't have the equipment they needed. Congress had to uncover those scandals after we heard from the troops in the field. We had to provide it over the objections of this administration. And this guy has the gall to say we aren't serving the troops as they want to keep our troops mired down forever in the middle of a civil war. This is extraordinary. And most recently, Vice President Cheney, last year, no, so 2 years ago, I think they're in the last throes, if you will, of the insurgency. I guess he still believes that. These people have done an extraordinary disservice to our troops, our country, our national security, and the fight against true terrorism that attacked us on 9/11. We will not be distracted or bullied anymore. The Iraq Accountability Act is a strong response to their mismanagement, and it offers the United States a way to bring this war to a successful conclusion, and soon. Bring the troops home.
At this time, the chair recognizes the gentleman from North Carolina, Mr. Butterfield, for 5 minutes.
I have unanimous consent that I be allowed to revise and extend my remarks.
Without objection.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, there was great cause for celebration in eastern North Carolina over this past weekend as Wilson, North Carolina's Barton College captured the NCAA Division II Men's College Basketball Championship. What a game. Barton College, Madam Speaker, is a small but proud college with a rich academic history. With a student body of about 1,000 students, it is located not only in my congressional district, but located in my community. I am so proud of them. Barton College captured the national championship Saturday afternoon, scoring an amazing come-from-behind 77-75 victory over previously undefeated and defending national champion Winona State University. Barton won the title game at the buzzer with 0.1 seconds remaining. They won their semifinal game by 1 point on a last-second free throw and won its quarterfinal game on a three-pointer at the buzzer in overtime. This will be a game that will long be remembered. Madam Speaker, it is a great honor for me to recognize the success, efforts, and achievements of these outstanding young student athletes. It is my pleasure to recognize their head coach, Ron Levinsey, and his staff. Their hard work and their dedication to teamwork is something that we are all proud of in Wilson, North Carolina, and throughout the 1st Congressional District. I ask my colleagues today to rise and join me in paying tribute to Barton College's basketball team of 2007 and to recognize their extraordinary championship. Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. I yield back the balance of my time.
Pursuant to Clause 12A of Rule 1, the chair declares the House in recess until 2 p.m. today.